This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
It's Ancient P.
You're listening to the listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 FM KPFT Houston, 89.5 Galveston, and as always, www.kpft.org. And up next is another song set, and we'll be back with you soon.
You're at a party. A fella offers you a drink. You turn to thank him and you blink. And then your heart begins to sink. And then the first thing you know, you're in love. He begs your pardon and wonders if you'd like to dance. You tell yourself there's not a chance of this becoming a romance. And then the first thing you know, you're in love. And while he's holding you gently, your lips accidentally brush in a kiss. How can there be such bliss in one sweet random kiss? Now hear this, I won't deny it. In case you're guessing what you're guessing, he's the guy and I'm confessing I'm the boy and I said yes. And when we kissed, at first, at last, I was really in love. Accidentally brush in a kiss. How can there be such bliss in one sweet random kiss? Now hear this, I won't deny it. In case you're guessing what you're guessing, he's the guy and I'm confessing I'm the boy and I said yes. And on the first of the month, we'll be hand in love. You let yourself go and the first thing you know, you're in love, so in love, yes, you're in love. Turning a single strand of my hair. Over and under his fingers, they're weaving a tapestry of the rarest hue. His palette was water, earth and sky. The colors lived in his touch, and I lived there too. One that I love and one that I knew. His was a lover's eye, deeper than winter, wide as the sky and as blue. Looking for something he couldn't see, turning instead to look straight at me. Dawn and night die again at the first gray light, like the dew on one that I loved and one that I knew. I knew him and I loved him truly. I knew him, I believe he knew me too. one that I loved and one that I knew. His was a poet's voice, lying and crying, lamenting, rejoicing. He softly caress with a single word, slowly undress to an overheard, understood song of the dying of the much too young. Sweet tarantellas upon his tongue, dancing to one that I love. Angel's soul, on which an earthbound heaven took its toll all too soon. The strings of his spirit were quickly frayed when life's cruel melody too loudly played its tune. And so, unable to pay a price and impatient for paradise, it flew. One that I loved and one that I knew. I knew him, I knew him, and I loved him truly. I knew him, I knew him, and I believe he knew me too. One that I loved. One that I loved, and one that I knew. One that I loved, and one that I knew. Went to the cupboard, thought I'd make me some brew. Well, it happens every morning. Can't wake up till I get a little something in my coffee cup. Caffeine, why you gotta be so mean? Went to the table, feeling incomplete. Just a morning till I have a cigarette. Well, I search the house all over. Thank you.
Now, wasn't that some old lesbian music?
I know, right? We had a long
and
set going on.
What old lesbian did that one?
That was for 4D Yikes.
Oh, 4D Yikes.
Yeah, 4D Yikes. And that was Caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we had a long set there. Mm-hmm. Before that, we had True with His Was.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, we had Sean Ryan. Very cute picture, too. The First Thing You Knew. Yeah, The First Thing You Know, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Misread that.
This is some new old music.
Yeah, new old.
Especially for Wes, because he doesn't know about the new old the old music, so it's all new to him.
You know, it's a good thing I didn't see number four on this one.
Yeah, I'm afraid to ask what it is.
Shirley Q.
Oh, my God.
But no, before that, before the top of the hour, we had RuPaul. We did People Are People.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Andy Northrup before RuPaul.
Oh, he's good.
Yep. I forget which one I did on that one. I
think he's from Canada.
Yeah, I think I did Slow Burn Avenue.
Mm-hmm. I hope you did.
Yeah. Patricia Barber before that. We did...
What's Being Jazz?
Yeah. I forget which song I did on that one now.
You didn't write it down?
I don't have the pad tonight. Somebody left it at home. It wasn't in the binder.
It didn't come home with me.
I sent it home last week.
Not with me, you didn't.
I don't know what happened to it
then. Okay.
Anyway, before that was Madeline
Peru,
and I did Lovesick Blues. And we had Ron Romanowski.
Ah, yeah.
Baby, Take Advantage of Me.
Mm-hmm. From Romanowski and Phillips fame.
Yeah.
That's his
one and only single.
His
solo.
And only solo, yeah.
So.
I've got a couple of things I want to do, a couple short things.
Okay.
Something I'm going to read and then ask for comments.
Comments, huh?
But the next time you drive by ExxonMobil and you don't stop in, and you know you're not supposed to, and you forget why. Huh. This is the reason.
Uh-oh.
Yes. ExxonMobil continues to have the dubious distinction of being the only Fortune 50 company that refuses to add sexual orientation and gender identity to their non-discrimination policy and is stuck in the ever-shrinking minority of businesses that don't offer domestic partner benefits. It is irresponsible for ExxonMobil to ignore overwhelming shareholder support and not join the majority of companies that provide equal protections and benefits to all families. A total of 423, 85% of Fortune 500 companies include sexual orientation in their non-discrimination policies. And 176, more than 35%, include gender identity, including ExxonMobil competitors BP Corporation, Chevron Corporation, Dow Chemical, DuPont, and Shell Oil. ExxonMobil is the only Fortune 50 company that refuses to write sexual orientation protections into its primary non-discrimination policy, which can be found in the company's standards of business conduct. While the rest of corporate America recognizes and respects the diversity of their workforce, ExxonMobil continues to resist the most basic protections that should be afforded to all Americans. Now, the percentage of shares voting in favor of the proposals has grown each in the last 10 years, which in the year 2000, with 39.3% of shares voting in favor of the policy this year, compared with 8.2% in 2000. While not yet a majority of shareholders, a growing block of shareholders has sided against ExxonMobil for more than a decade, and still they do not. The other thing is, Mobil had all of that, and when Exxon bought them,
erased it. You know, that's pretty sad.
That's very, very sad.
That's pretty sad, because... And I can say this because of where I work at.
Mm-hmm.
even a company like mine, I mean, it's not a Fortune 500.
No.
It's mainly a local company.
Uh-huh.
Except for
Texas company.
Yeah. Well, except for a couple of the stores underneath the parent organization, which are in Colorado.
You would not expect a small company to offer that.
And
you're openly gay at work.
Yeah, I'm openly gay at work. I'm not the only one. There are a couple others of us. In fact, I've talked to one of them. He's going to come in and do a segment with us.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to talk to the other one and see if he's willing also.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all three openly gay at work. Everybody knows about all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We've all taken our partners with us to the company Christmas party.
You know, and
my company's even been advertised in some of the local gay rags.
Oh, yes. And it should be. You work for who?
I work for Randall Reed's Planet Ford.
Ta-da! Now, the car business is a pretty butch kind of...
Well, and you know,
you don't expect a lot of gay people.
What's funny about it also is Ford. Now, let's just take the brand name Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Ford is in the Fortune 500.
Yes, it is.
Ford is one of the big three that did not take any of the bailout money.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ford is the only of the one of the big three that's not filing for bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And Ford is the only one of the big three that advertises in gay publications.
There you go.
So, again, not only is my particular company got stuff in their policies that protect the gays,
mm-hmm,
and lesbians that work there and offer health benefits to our partners, but also Ford does the same.
Yeah.
So to hear that that one of the Fortune 500, ExxonMobil, is not wanting to do this just shows how backwards they are.
I think you're right. You're listening to After Hours. I don't know that we say that enough on this show. And we certainly don't say enough about who you hear talking on the mic. I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Wes.
And I've got something that I want Wes to read, because it's that time of year. It's graduation. And Bill Gates recently gave a speech at a high school about 11 things that they did not and will not learn in school. And love him or hate him, I think he sure hits the nail on the head with this. And this may be a dose of reality to some high school seniors.
Hmm. Okay. Bill Gates talks about some feel-good, politically correct teachings creating a generation of kids with no concept of reality, and how this concept sets them up for failure in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
11 rules. Rule one, I say this so many times a day, it's not even funny. Life is not fair. Get used to it.
Yep. Sorry, folks. That's
reality. It's a reality.
Yeah.
I mean, I say it every day at work. People say, well, that's not, life isn't fair. Get over it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
It isn't.
So, rule number two, the world doesn't care about your self-esteem. The world expects you to accomplish something before you feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why at work, I say this a lot, too, about when I'm at work. Work is work. Home is home. I keep the... Neither will the two worlds meet.
You have to keep them separate.
That's why I refute... And it's an age-old rule I've had of my own. I will not date someone I work with.
Oh, gosh. That's the worst. Absolutely the worst.
And, you know, I've been trying to beat that into the head of this one girl that works with me. Because she inevitably... I don't care who it is, she ends up dating somebody from work.
Nope. Never. No.
And it just causes grief. Grief, grief, and grief.
Yep.
Rule number three. You will not, let me say that again, you will not make $60,000 a year right out of high school. You won't be a vice president with a car phone until you earn both.
Yep.
Get that out of your head. You want to be on the mic, too?
I'm sure he didn't walk in there just because he's cute.
There you go.
It's also a really good place to sit down.
Hey, Merlin.
Hi. It's Merlin. Don't mind me if I sound like I'm talking through a wind tunnel. I have a cold.
Rule.
Okay, yeah. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Rule number four. I like this one. If you think your teacher is tough,
hello.
Wait until you get a boss.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, and you can't BS your boss, because he holds your paycheck.
Actually, that's it's right. A payroll clerk that does, but that's beside the point. Rule number five. Oh, this is good. This is good. Flipping burgers is not beneath your dignity. Your grandparents had a different word for burger flipping. They called it opportunity.
Yeah, that's right.
My brother learned that flipping burgers is not beneath his dignity.
No.
He used to work for Fortune 500.
There's a lot of folks who are finding that out in this
in this
horrible recession. Yes.
Yeah. Rule number six, if you mess up, and this has got to be tattooed on people's foreheads, it's not your parents' fault. So don't whine about your mistakes, learn from them.
That's right. I had a boss who always told me, it's not how bad you goof, it's how well you recoup.
Exactly.
Yes.
One thing, coming from a military standpoint also, being the ex-Navy, one thing they always said, you can have 1,000 attaboys, but one aw FCC erases all of them.
Erases, that's right. That's absolutely, never take a problem to your boss without a solution in hand.
I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you've done good.
Yep.
You screw it up once, everything else is
that's forgotten.
Uh-huh, exactly.
From a movie.
Oops. Yes.
What oops? No oops.
Yeah. we found that out when we got that 1 month vacation, didn't we?
Rule number seven. Before you were born, your parents weren't as boring as they are now. They got that way from paying your bills, cleaning your clothes, and listening to you talk about how cool you thought you were. So before you save the rainforest from the parasites of your parents' generation, try delousing the closet in your own room.
Whoa.
You know, there's so many kids today.
That's something about the splinter and the log in the eye thing. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, there's so many kids these days that really need to hear this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Rule number eight. Your school may have done away with winners and losers, but life has not.
That's right. You know, I was thinking about that today. Every time I hear somebody say, oh, good job, what that really means is, well, it was mediocre, but you know, you got to give you an attaboy or something. You know, some things aren't worth comment.
Look, people, sometimes you're the bug, sometimes you're the windshield.
Exactly.
Hello.
In some schools, they have abolished failing grades, and they give you as many times as you want to get the answer right.
Mm-hmm. No.
This doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything. Let me repeat that. This doesn't bear the slightest resemblance to anything in real life.
That's right. That's right.
Don't think you're going to get a second shot at it sometimes, guys. Because one screw up and you're gone.
You know, at home, at school, you can get the 1,001 chances. But in the real world, you don't get that.
Exactly. And there's a great way of putting it. Think about all these men and women that have had to go to Iraq. All my brothers and sisters in arms that have had to go to Iraq. And they're walking down the street not knowing that there's that roadside bomb sitting there waiting.
Yes.
They screwed up that one time. There's no going back and fixing
that. That's it. It's over.
So, I mean, yeah, they're over there doing their job, but I mean, there's just times where you don't realize that you're about to screw up. So,
you know, on cable there are those great shows that show you that, you know, America's worst drivers, America's worst.
Oh yeah, all that on True TV.
Yeah. You know,
stunts that went bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
All it takes is that one oops.
Yeah.
And you're done.
Oops, is sliding down a razor blade into a vat of alcohol.
Yeah.
Yes, I did pull it out. You know I did. Rule number 9. Life is not divided into semesters. You don't get summers off.
No.
And very few employers are interested in helping you find yourself. Do that on your own time.
Yeah, that's right. You know, you go to work somewhere, and first of all, if you're lucky enough to get full-time employment,
especially today,
you will wait an entire year before you get 1 week's vacation.
Exactly. And that's the way it is at my company.
Yeah.
You don't have vacation. No. You have a 90-day grace period.
Yep.
And then you still, after that 90 days, you have to wait until your one-year anniversary to get your first week of vacation.
Yep. If they even offer it.
Yep. And then,
if you work for a security company, you may not get vacation.
Yeah. And then, after that first year, after you use that vacation, you don't get more vacation until your anniversary.
That's right.
And then it's only another year, only another week.
That's it.
Now, however, I'm being lucky this year.
Yeah.
This is my third year at my company. I get 2 weeks of vacation.
Hey.
And there we go.
Yeah. So, I worked long enough to get 4 weeks.
All right.
I worked a long time.
On Rule 10, there are some exceptions to this, I think. I'm not sure. I have to actually go and actually see some of this stuff done in real life. But they say here, Rule 10, and I'm going to emphasize one of these words real hard. Television is not, let me say that again, television is not real life. In real life, people actually have to leave the coffee shop and go to jobs.
Well, there are a few exceptions to that rule, like if you're working at the coffee shop, or if you happen to be retired, or, you know, or on disability.
Yeah, because that's so much fun.
Yeah.
And, you know,
so financially,
because if you're on disability, profitable. The only thing you can afford is that coffee shop.
Are you kidding? Well, I don't get paid till the middle of this next week. I'm broke. I can't afford a coffee shop.
Be glad you got a roof over your head, though.
And a much larger one than.
And a much larger roof than I used to have.
Yeah.
Very true. Very true.
And rule number 11.
Rule number 11, the big one. Be nice to nerds. Chances are you'll end up working for one.
Ah, yes.
So, again, these are 11 things you're not taught in high school.
I've been carrying that around for months, just waiting for, you know, just a little downtime that we could. Yeah, because I think it bears repeating, and people need to hear things like that.
They really do, and this is something that I think a lot of people should get in their email or see posted somewhere.
And that goes, you know, beyond sexual orientation. Like I say in the very beginning of this show, part of coming out of the closet is standing up for yourself and taking responsibility for your life. These 11 rules will help you do that.
And it's amazing these days. And I can't say this just of our younger adults in the world, but even some of the older adults in the world.
Definitely.
Need to have these things tattooed on their head. So that they can see them in the mirror every morning. Because I cannot count how many times I've heard people complaining.
Which means they'd have to have them tattooed back.
Exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah. But you hear it more, from younger adult Americans than you do the older. But I cannot tell you how many times I've heard an older adult, And I'm not saying older in a derogatory way of any kind.
No, I get it.
But, I mean, I've even heard people my age sitting here saying, well, it was my dad's fault that this has happened to me. Oh, hell no, it wasn't.
If it's his fault, it was the only fault that your father had was
he didn't wear the condom like he was supposed to.
Protecting you from the world and not letting you see the real world. That's the only fault that your father has in this case.
And you know, that's one thing I can say about my parents is when I got into high school, before I even started my first day of high school,
mm-hmm.
they pulled me aside in the living room, sat me down, and said, look, you're going into high school now. We're going to let you make your own decisions.
Mm.
We're going to stand beside you on those decisions. If you do well, good on you. You screw up, and your rear end is ours.
Whoa.
So they let me take charge of my own life and make my own decisions and do what I wanted to do back then, which was a good thing for me, because not only, in addition to having to grow up a little bit earlier in life, having to take care of my brother and sister while my parents were working multiple jobs at a time when I was in junior high school,
mm-hmm.
let me make my own decisions through high school, help prepare me for some of these roles here and being an adult.
Well, unfortunately, my parents didn't do that. But what they did do, which was not unusual for that day and time, I had some sort of part-time job since I was 13. And when I was 15... I started working at a multiple sclerosis nursing home.
Really?
Part-time during the school year. And between my junior and senior year during the summer, I worked full-time. For that time that I worked full-time, my parents made me pay rent.
Really?
Oh, yes. And
oh,
they said, you pay rent? You're working full time. You're not going to school, so you pay rent.
Oh wow!
And then you know when your senior year comes, you go back to part time, and you know the rent stops. But the day you graduate, rent starts again.
Yeah. See, I didn't.
They meant it. I was shocked. Yeah. I thought they were kidding.
I didn't have that. Though my parents said that if I wanted to get a part-time after-school job,
mm-hmm.
that I could. But they also said at the same time that they would prefer that I didn't and to concentrate on my studies.
Mm.
And I'm kind of glad that I didn't do that part-time job thing in school, because it allowed me to go ahead and concentrate on my studies and at the same time do some of the extracurricular activities that I wanted to do in school. Mm. That I wouldn't have had time for.
Well,
had I had that job.
If I wanted a car, I had to buy it myself, and I had to pay the insurance myself.
Yeah.
Because my parents didn't have the money. If I didn't have a car, they didn't have. My father worked nights, so and we had one car.
Uh huh.
So I.
You weren't going anywhere.
I wasn't going anywhere.
Unless you were hoofing it.
Unless I was hoofing it. That's right. If I wanted to stay after school, I had to walk home or get a ride.
And he had to do that in the snow both ways and with no shoes.
Yeah, so we've become a society where somewhere along the line, parents decided that in order for the kids to have the best of everything, they gave their kids
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
I'm sorry. You don't want your kids watching stuff on a computer or on a TV. There should only be one computer in the house.
Well,
it should be where everybody can see it.
These kids are finding out, especially this year, the kids, high school and college kids, are finding out jobs are even tougher to get.
Yes.
Because adults who have been in the job market and maybe have lost their job are willing
To go do those burger flipping jobs.
That's right. That's right. So it's even tougher getting a job.
It never ceases to amaze me the number of people who refuse to do certain jobs. You know, they won't. No matter what happens in their life, they won't lower themselves to.
They will eventually.
Oh,
which brings me around to the gay angle on this.
Mm-hmm.
Because goddess knows I know more than enough young queer children who.
Merlin, don't you? Is there anybody you don't know?
Teen queers and 20 queers who suddenly think themselves. Holier than thou, and you know, and because they, you know, then they've got all this attitude that I'm better than this, that, or the other thing, and I'm like, oh, get over yourself.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
and the only job going.
Yeah, you can manage to get the words "Would you like fries with that" out of your mouth.
Many of them won't do that. They'll ride on daddy's coattails until they can find that job that'll pay them $100,000 a year.
Or until daddy kicks them out.
That too. I didn't have that option.
I never had an option.
I didn't have that option. When I turned 18, it was sink or swim. And I made the decision when I was 17 to swim.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did I swim. I joined the Navy.
Yeah. You gave a whole new meaning to the phrase swim.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, halfway through my senior year, my parents found out I was gay. And that was the end of everything.
Yeah.
They kicked me out. And they never looked back. I had to go to New York and get a job immediately. Fortunately, I had friends.
There you go.
Who are from New York, and they knew friends, and you know, I stayed with this wonderful lesbian couple who they didn't know me from Adam, and I didn't know them
from Eve.
But you know, I slept on their sofa for a couple of weeks until I could, you know, get my own place and get a job and all of that. And it was just the friend of a friend, and. I have always relied on the kindness of strangers.
In more ways than one, Jimmy.
In more ways than one. It's just, you know, and then I started from there. And fortunately, I had taken a typing class in high school because that's what fed me.
Yeah. Well, going back to Bill's rule number 5, flipping burgers not beneath your dignity. When I lost my job of $10.50 an hour, I was a little vengeful and ran unemployment for a little while on the company that got rid of me on unjust grounds. Because, the unemployment board saw all that and they said, you're approved. After I finished with that, I wasn't going to screw around and try to find something making $11 an hour. I was like, no, I need to find a job. I don't care what job it is. And you know what I did?
What?
Walked around the corner and got a job at a convenience store.
Hey, ooh.
And
that would
not that I've ever regretted any decision in my life, but I'll put it to you this way. I worked at that job for a little over 2 years before I moved back to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is the manager that hired me, she was like, Wes, what are you going to do when you find a job in your field again? I looked at her dead in the eye. I said, I'll give you ample notice. I'll give you 1 month notice to find somebody to replace me. And she's like, well, I can't pay you what you were making. I was like, I don't care. I just need a job. And she hired me.
Boy, you're lucky.
She hired me right on the spot. And, you know, she fast-tracked me through training and made me her assistant manager, making $10 an hour.
Wow. Wow.
And... So
you were just about where you
just about
had been.
And it wasn't a bad job. I mean, it had some hellacious hours sometimes, pulling doubles, almost triples sometimes, but it was a job. And it wasn't beneath my dignity to go and work for a convenience store. I didn't care.
My very first job was working in an elderly retirement center, and let me tell you, while I was really proud of that paycheck because I was getting one, it wasn't anywhere in the ballpark of $10 an hour. It was, you couldn't even see $10 an hour from where my paycheck was.
All right. Well, let's go to get some music here. We'll do a three set and then come back and talk about some more stuff.
Okay.
So let's start it off with some Lynn Lavener.
Okay.
Why does everybody get so excited thinking that they haven't got a single thing to wear? And why do certain people have a nervous attack because they couldn't do a thing with their hair? Or call in a psychiatrist and write to Dr. Ruth because they think they saw their nephew in a dress? It's the realization, conscious or not, of a phenomenon that you can guess. You see, you are what you wear, and you wear what you are. You're yesterday's news or tomorrow's media star. We're all born stark naked. To dress is bizarre. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Why give the gays all the credit? Straights lead the way, more or less. For instance, crew cut Marines can look gorgeous. While on the other hand, I think the Pope is a mess. You may find my taste appalling, but in certain circles, girls, this is dress for success. You are what you wear, and you wear what you are. Put on a mustache, grow a cigar, pad both your shoulders, and maybe your bra. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Misled by the trappings, flounces and frills, wigs and falls. You know that some years ago at the Stonewall, it was the ball gowns that really held the balls. Now, I'm not an expert on fashion, but I try to be properly dressed when duty calls. You are what you wear, and you wear what you are. Paint on a beauty mark, sketch in a scar. The closet is open, the door stands ajar. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag. Now my friend Louis made himself a dress of navy blue, rhinestones at the bodice and a matching satin shoe. He said, do I look silly? I said, please, Louise, it's you. And that's the reason why everybody's in drag.
Thank you. I know that you're hurting, and I know that you're crying, but I also know that you've got more strength than you think you do. And I know that you're lonely, and I know you love, you're not the only one. But soon again, my friend, you'll find your way back to the sun. And until that time, I'll be the hand for you to hold. And until that time, feel free to cry on my shoulder. You'll be alright. Life's not always fair the way. Doesn't give a damn what you say, 'cause the world moves on. And I know that he was the first, and I know that you know he won't be the last. It's all a matter of time. Time's a day and a week and a year, and the pain is past. Until that time, I'll be the hand. You'll be all right. Well, I know that it's 3 a.m. and I got a good guess that you calling. Well, I don't need my sleep if it means I'll keep you some company.
So what did we hear?
We had a little Lynn Lavener.
Yes, started out with Lynn Lavener. Yeah.
What are you what you wear. So
yeah.
If I can get my eyes read right. A little instrumental music there from Mark Barnes. That was the second one, A Father's Love.
That's pretty piano music.
Yeah, it was.
You're going to listen to that, and you're going to...
fall asleep.
Why, thank you.
Sorry.
And that last one.
That
beautiful,
was.
But
yeah, I'm going to have to listen to more of that one.
Yeah.
And the last one was Scott Friedman, and that was Until That Time.
Okay.
Very beautiful song.
This is the fifth Saturday, usually a music show, but it's kind of free form for us.
Yep. Our QMZ, so to speak.
Queer Music Zone. But. We, over the years, we've received letters from our MBBs, our men behind bars. And One man in particular wrote to us nearly every week for years, even when he couldn't even get us anymore. For months at a time, he couldn't even listen to the show. He would still write. And for a lot of different reasons, we don't write back, but we talk about the letters on the show and answer them in that fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And even though he could not hear us answering his letters, he still wrote, and he still wrote, and he still wrote. Well, guess what?
What's that, Jimmy?
He's out.
All right.
Yes. The famous After Hours Tigger is with us tonight, matter of fact.
Hi there, Tigger.
Hey. Infamous is probably more like it.
You have always been the most level-headed of all of the writers.
Oh, that's scary.
No, I
believe me, I've read some of those letters.
Yeah, you know,
I had a couple of them that
drunk,
scared,
so yeah. There's no telling why.
there was a couple of those letters that scared me.
Yeah.
Especially that last one.
Well, you know how to put a paragraph together, usually.
Yeah.
Journalism degree helps.
See?
We had some people.
We are glad you were back in the free world.
I am thrilled to be out. Yeah. And even more thrilled to be here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I know you've been out for a while, but you're not here in Houston. And so it takes you a while to get here.
Yeah, I was on parole until last week. I've been off parole for a week now.
Oh, and that's it.
Yeah, they restricted my travel.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, they restricted everything.
I'll bet.
They wouldn't let me on the computer.
What?
So I couldn't listen to the show. Whoa. Even after I got out of prison.
Because you couldn't listen to us on the computer.
Right. And
that's
I'm
crazy.
Too far away to even think about picking you up on.
Yeah.
On the air.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no computer. They wouldn't let me have my cameras. It was just crazy.
That is crazy. But
off paper, free and clear.
But it was worth it to get out.
Oh yeah.
And now you're off paper. That's the best news ever. So how is life now that you're outside?
Wonderful, scary,
mm-hmm.
frustrating, great, hell. It's a roller coaster.
Well,
just like everybody else's life.
You know, yeah. It's not unlike other guys that I've talked to who've gotten out. And, you know, that with the freedom comes the responsibility, unfortunately. And so, I mean, now you have to, like, get a job.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, that's always the hardest. That's always the hardest. And once you got that nailed down, things get a lot easier.
Yeah, it'll be a lot better then. I told my dad about a week ago, if I couldn't mm-hmm. find something pretty soon in the area that I'm at, which is up in Nacogdoches,
mm-hmm.
that I was going to have to move, and I may be down here before too long.
Okay.
Maybe okay. somebody down here will hire me.
The other thing is that's important is having some sort of support system.
Very much,
yeah.
Which is why I don't want to leave the area where
exactly.
I'm at. Because I have a...
you have people who know you and love you there.
Yeah, my family's there, and everybody in that area of my family...
And obviously they know you.
Yeah, they're there, and...
there's no secrets.
No.
No.
And I got out and got in a 12-step program pretty quick after getting out.
That's
and
good.
I've got 5 months clean and sober.
Good for you.
And,
good for you.
Thank you.
And that's not easy.
No, because I drank and used all through prison. But
the infamous Pruno?
Yeah. Yeah, very much. But everybody in my support group there, they know I went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
They know I was on parole when I came out. They know what I did to go to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all been real good and real supportive. And
that's nice.
You know, and even in the middle of deep East Texas, Hicksville, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I haven't had any problems with being open about my sexuality or
really?
Anything like that. As a matter of fact, this pink shirt and the purple nail polish and the fuchsia toenail polish I wore to a meeting tonight.
Wow.
I left after a meeting in Nacogdoches and drove down here. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You do know you'll be lucky to walk out of here with that pink shirt. Jimmy gets a hold of you.
Well, it'll cost him.
Yes, sir.
We might be able to work out a trade.
Yeah. I'm the pink freak here.
Yeah.
In case you didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard about it a few times. And, of course, walking in and seeing the one person in a pink shirt besides me, I knew exactly who you were. I had no doubt.
You should see the one he's famous for having worn at a pride parade.
Oh, yeah. Boy, is that bright.
You could see that one from the space shuttle.
Oh, that would be great. And I'm going to be at Pride this year.
Oh,
I have
good.
Been missing it and wanting to be there for so long.
Good, good,
good. I
will
be at Pride.
It's an experience. I'm telling you. I don't know how long you were in.
7.5 flat.
Okay, okay.
I went in May. Of May 21st, 2001, mm-hmm. and got out October 21st, 2008.
Wow, you must have been writing this almost every since you went in.
I found KPFT and After Hours. This was actually the first program I discovered. I was flipping through, and you were still doing the 420 break.
Oh, yeah, then. Yeah, yeah.
And I heard somebody talking
Dean Decker,
about weed.
420, yeah.
And I stopped. Whoa, hold up. What is this? Okay. And then he got done, and some fairy got on the radio and started talking about sucking cock. And I was like, oh, I'm home. Where is this station? And, yeah, I've got that written down in a date book somewhere. It was February 3rd, I believe, 2003.
That would be yes, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when we were 4 hours, and Dean Becker would set his alarm clock. He went to bed and set his alarm clock and got up just to do that segment on Saturday nights. He did. It was that important to him.
Oh, wow.
It is. And now, you know, and now his show is nationally syndicated.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a big deal in the 420 society. So I can imagine Tigger sitting there in the dark listening and hearing about weed and hearing about cock, and it's like, whoa.
Yeah, he's home.
What is this station?
And I listened for the next 5.5 years.
Yes, you did.
Well, as much as I could.
As much as you could.
Why are these people talking about Spanish roosters?
And we read every single one of your letters on the air. And even when we knew you couldn't hear, you know, because... we knew that there are other ears that were listening, and maybe your letter would help them out. You never know. You never know how you affect people. It just seems like every month or so I run into somebody, some stranger, who either recognizes my voice or has seen my picture somewhere and says, oh, my God, I listened to you when I was a teenager with a radio underneath the pillow.
The shirt.
Yeah, you know, it's just...
yeah, and you gotta love it when they say stuff like, I heard you when I was a teenager, and they're like 30 now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I know I'm old. Anyway, what kept you writing all of those... All that time when you couldn't even hear us?
I'm really not sure. It was...
Because we loved your letters.
It was... I felt a connection with the station, with the guys in the After Hours at the Round Table. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Chris's voice turned my... You know, curled my toes up and everything, and of course he's not here tonight.
No,
but
I bet he's listening now.
Yeah, he just heard I was coming and didn't stay. No. That's what it is.
He called me about 6-ish this evening to let me know that you were coming tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew before I even got down to Montrose tonight that you were on your way down.
Part of it was just, you know, it was that connection. And when I could hear and pick up the station, and y'all answered the letters, it was like talking to family. And that was so wonderful, and it made me feel not alone. And every week I couldn't pick up, that I went ahead and wrote anyway, I was hoping that the next week I would be able to pick up the station. And I did that for months and months.
You did. And I think that's part of the reason why, because we never knew whether you were listening that week or not. So, you know, we kept answering your letters.
And I kept trying. I mean, I did everything. You know, the stand on one foot, hand on the one bar with the radio held up in the, you know, find that perfect position.
I've heard those, stories. I guess they're all true. You know, you have to
doubt it, because I know mine
were. Tuck your leg behind your head.
I did one week. I was able to pick up the station as long as I stayed crouched down underneath my table with one finger on my bunk.
Oh, my God.
And I sat like that for 4 hours. So, that was back when y'all were still 4 hours. And I was very upset when they stole that hour from y'all. I was like, hey, didn't they get my stamps? Come on.
I know. Yes. That's the other thing about you.
The stamps thing is now a part of After Hours lore.
It is.
It's a part of fundraising lore.
I think you're probably the only person who was able to do that.
Well, I had to fight with the mailroom at one point. Because they were going to, you're not allowed to make purchases, you know, like some magazine will take stamps instead of money.
That's right.
And you can't, with Texas Department of Criminal Justice, justice, anyway, you can't send in the order form with the stamps.
Oh.
They want you to go through, fill out a money withdrawal symptom from your commissary account so that the major can then look over what you're going to get and approve or disapprove of the purchase.
Got it.
And I had to fight with them about that, which I was saying,
wow,
I wasn't buying anything. I was making a donation to an organization. And so I was not making a purchase, and they had no right to stop the stamp.
And they are well aware of KPFT there.
Oh, yeah.
They'd have to be.
Yeah, so they know that. It's a listener-sponsored,
another show on this station.
Yeah. Daddy Ray.
And I got him even less than I got y'all, because my reception was a little bit better later at night.
Really?
So, yeah,
really?
I very rarely was able to listen to the prison show.
Oh, that's a shame, because that is a great show.
Well, heck, I could be there was a time I could be standing outside the building and with a Walkman on, and I couldn't get the radio. Once upon a time. Things have gotten better since then.
Wow. But, you know, I've always heard those stories from guys that, you know, it was luck of the draw whether you could get reception or not.
Yeah.
And that depending on if, you know, the guy above you wanted to listen to something else and turn the wire a different way or something. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
It was luck of the, you know, you were talking about how you just sort of, there it was one night.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way it was for me. It was like, oh, look, did somebody just say queer?
In a non-negative way?
In a non-negative way, was that?
So how was your experience in prison?
A lot worse than it could have been and a lot better than it could have been.
Wow.
I wasn't on a gladiator farm, so it wasn't a...
What is that?
You know, where they're basically carting out at least one body a week.
Ooh.
Or more. You know, the really rough units.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't on one of those.
Yeah.
So that was good. It was a fairly friendly unit. You know, once you got your heart checked and proved that you could and would fight.
That's a big deal in prison, isn't it?
Yeah. They pretty much, after that, would leave you alone and let you do your time. As long as you left them alone.
Mm-hmm.
After that, if you pretty much, you know, not be real stupid, you could avoid most of the violence. But there were always times where something would blow up and you didn't have much of a chance
To
walk away. as far as in, you know, for anybody who's listening, who's been watching a lot of TV and movies, it's not air conditioned, and we did not have cable. We were not watching HBO. We were watching The Price is Right.
Yeah, it's not Oz.
Which is so exciting since Drew Carey took over.
Yeah. There have been so many shows on TV and cable, like Oz and all the cop shows and stuff. That
Oz scared the hell out of me because I had just finished watching the first season when I got convicted.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, crap, this is where I'm going. But, no, it... After the beginning part, the transitional period, it wasn't just pure hell. The main problem is the isolation, the separation. Of course, there's always the harassment. I don't know if you remember, but I had sworn I wasn't going to come out in prison.
We have to do some business here.
Okay, just go ahead. Quick
business. You're listening to listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and as always, the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Sorry to stop you in mid-thought, because I do want to hear this.
I had said I wasn't going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
I very distinctly remember writing that in a letter. You know, you people are crazy if you think I'm coming out in here. Excuse me.
No, I wouldn't.
Somehow we wouldn't expect
that. Was my next question.
You know, Well, when I wrote that, it was a small unit, only about 1,200 people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were probably a dozen or so known or suspected non-heteros.
Mm-hmm.
But there really weren't that many that were bragging about it. And there weren't too many that were just open. And they did get harassed.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to deal with it.
Sure.
And the more I listened...
There was enough crap to deal with.
Oh, yeah. The more I listened, the more... And I came out in East Texas when I was 13. And that was 84.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm old, too. So, you know, I had done my share of fighting rednecks, and I really didn't want to do it again. But I couldn't live with hiding it.
Yeah.
And for one thing, I wasn't getting my Glamour magazine. So I went ahead and I just got a subscription to Glamour and The Advocate. And
that did it.
A few other things.
The nail polish.
Yeah. Hey, this is great stuff, and it only cost $1.06 after tax.
Oh,
I buy the quality.
You go.
But I did finally come out, and... the first probably 6 months after I came out, the fighting had increased some because there were some guys that thought they could take advantage of me because of that, and instantly saw that as weak. And I had to let them know that, you know, hey, I may get women's fashion magazines in the mail at mail call, and I may let my wrist get a little soft at times, but I'm still a man, and I will beat your bitch ass if you get in my face. And it took a little time, but that kind of went away. I did have some guards that regularly liked to tear my house, my rack, my
mm-hmm.
cell, whatever, all to pieces. Pretty much every shift they worked.
What?
There was always stuff like that.
Oh, man.
You know, I had my advocates confiscated.
Oh, sure.
A couple of times, and had to go down there and fight to get them back, and you know, little crap like that. But it really wasn't that bad. After about 6 months or so, and they realized I wasn't going to, you know, curl up in a little ball and cry, they pretty much just went, yeah,
so
he
can,
is.
You can,
don't
you,
worry about it.
You have to be, if you're going to be out, you have to be tough.
Either that or have a really tough boyfriend.
Yeah, okay.
And they don't sell condoms on commissary. And the HIV and Hep C stats are pretty high in prison.
Yeah. Ray tells us that they're double what they are on the outside.
Yeah, I was a little leery.
Sure.
I had, in 7.5 years, I had 2 boyfriends, and that was it. And with both of them, I was like, I'll put in the I-60 and put in the request. I'll go down to the infirmary, and I'll get the HIV and the Hep C test and all that. You do the same thing. I'll show you my paperwork. You show me yours. You're not touching me till then.
Whoa.
So, I was.
I don't blame you.
I went in there clean. I wanted to come out that way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope you were listening to me all that time because, once you got it, you got it. And, you can take all the pills you want. It still ravages your body. And they call it a manageable disease, but...
After almost 15 years, I'd really like to know what they mean by manageable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been at this for almost 15 years.
So good on you that you were able to survive all that time and not get it.
Yeah, I only got one prison tat, and that wasn't by choice.
Oh.
So I even avoided the needles.
Ooh, yeah. So. Yeah.
Some guys during that first 6 month period that I was talking about when I first came out mm-hmm. took umbrance, I guess you would say, to my being able to say, yeah, I'm bisexual,
uh-huh.
And I'm celibate, so you're still not getting any. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so I've got this nice little race traitor tattoo on my chest.
Yeah.
But. Took a couple of them to hold me down while the other one did it. It wasn't real fun. I'm going to get it covered up as soon as I get the funds.
Okay. Wow.
On the other hand, I earned it, so I may just keep it though. I don't know.
You had cellies all the time?
Probably about 99% of the time.
Yeah. So... evidently, if you didn't have a boyfriend, your cellie knew you were gay?
Usually, yeah. After I came out, it usually didn't take... If he didn't figure it out from just, being around me enough, usually somebody would,
clue him in.
Clue him in. How often would do you keep the cell same cellmate? I mean, was it a constant rotation of...
they move guys around a lot.
Did they?
Probably about the longest period I had a single cellie was probably about 9-10 months.
Wow.
That was a long, long one. But usually 2-3 months I was getting somebody new.
Wow.
Or I was moving.
Mm-hmm.
That was more often. They had this tendency to put me in the rougher dorms. And then when things would calm down, I would get moved to a different rougher dorm.
You have this calming effect on people?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a calming effect or that, things just cycle away and they just decided, I don't know. I try not to get too paranoid and think they were trying to get me killed or something, but,
You never know.
Which wouldn't be too far from possible.
No.
Sure.
Definitely not.
But while the prison system, tries to tell you that they're getting you ready for the outside world, they're really not. Of course not.
Right. Oh, my goodness. They have actually gotten a little bit more honest in that they have taken the words rehabilitation out of their job. Oh, goodness, I can't think of the word, but their mission statement, whatever you want to call it, the whole idea of rehabilitation and things of that nature, not part of TDC, not any longer. It's purely punitive, mm-hmm. and let's see how much free labor we can get out of these people before,
What about things like classes and things that they say they're offering to guys? How easy is it to take advantage of things like that?
Well, I had a college degree. So as far as in, there were a lot of guys on the unit taking college classes and things like that. So that is there. The unit I was on, the highest degree you could get at that place was an associate's degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Didn't really need to go back and get an associate's degree.
How good was the schooling, though?
Oh, it was a joke.
That's, because I'm thinking that a lot of these guys really aren't college material.
No, it's a joke.
Okay. So they're really getting a high school.
I heard more about the GED program as far as in education. Mm-hmm. Now, the GED program, that was pretty real.
Okay.
But, I mean, this is the college. Now, I can't speak for all the colleges on all the units.
No.
The one where I was at was a junior college that was probably teaching high school level classes.
Yeah. That was going to be my guess.
Because I had a college degree, and it was in journalism. So, you know, a lot of the guys would bring by their essays or whatever they were turning in hey, man, will you read this and let me know? And I'd be like,
oh, God.
I wouldn't have turned this in 10th grade. But, you know, okay, here you go. And then they'd come back and go, oh, I got an A on that paper.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is a college course? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I should just go ahead and coast through and get myself an associate's degree. But I didn't feel like wasting the money because if you're over 25, you have to pay for it yourself.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No, see, that's something we don't hear about.
And the things like...
What does it cost?
Changes? Oh, I don't know. It's pretty much... pretty close to regular tuition, minus the housing fees and all that good stuff. You know, it's a few hundred dollars.
Because you're making so much money.
Because TDC pays so well. Man, I would have been thrilled with 50 cents an hour.
What kind of jobs do you do there? Or what kind of jobs did you do?
I didn't do much.
Okay.
I told them if they put me in the host squad, I'd run. So
in the what?
In the host squad. That's so. Yeah, I know it sounds really kinky, but it's field work. Grabbing a hoe and going to work
in
the field.
An
that's
HOE.
That's with an E on the end.
Oh,
exactly.
That kind of hoe.
And
not like some of the people.
Yeah, and there for about 7 years, I was pretty much able to get myself assigned to the medical squad, which basically meant my job was keeping my bunk from flying away. And I was very, very good at it. it didn't, you know, hurt anything that it weighed several hundred pounds.
Ooh.
But, you know.
Well.
But then they put me in the kitchen the last, 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going to do it because I was like, you know, I'm not getting anything for it. You know, why should I?
Can you opt not to do anything?
Oh, yeah, sure, if you don't mind SAG.
Oh.
You know.
Oh.
Yeah, you can. It's always your choice, you know. You can choose not to cut your hair. You can choose not to shave. There's just consequences that are going to come with it. And which is why my hair is the length it is right now in this horrible, nasty, in-between middle stage. Because when I came out, I looked like somebody who just walked out of TDC with a buzz cut.
Yeah.
I'm working on getting it back down where it was when they, about middle of my back.
Okay.
When they clipped it all off and I cried.
So, if you choose not to take some sort of job there, you have to go to ADSEG?
Pretty much.
Ooh.
Yeah. It doesn't take long.
That's not fun, is it?
No. Well, actually, I don't know. Some of the easiest time I ever did was SAG time.
Really?
You know, other than absence of the radio, that was the part that killed me.
Yeah.
You got the cell all to yourself. It's bigger.
Oh.
They leave you alone. They bring you your meals. It's really not bad, especially, you know, if you like... got voices in your head and you don't have to worry about not having anybody to talk to.
Well, yeah, that's the point. It's got to be lonely as hell.
Yeah. Then again, you know, sometimes not having anybody around is better than having to be with the jerks that you were locked up with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people are not your friends. Yeah, I mean, you might meet one or two, you know. I've got probably over that 7.5 year period, I've got two or three guys that I would still remember fondly and, you know, visit with if I met them on the street. But most of these people, you know, you just...
Career criminals?
Well, not necessarily all of them, but, you know, I mean, there are a lot of guys in there that don't need to be, but there are a lot of guys in there that do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for prison reform, but the people that want to take it as far as... oh, we should do away with prisons entirely? Uh-uh.
I don't know anybody like that.
Some of those people need to
this
be
is,
in there.
This is Texas. People are like, put them in and lock, you know, and throw away the key.
And the other thing they like to do here, from what I can tell from my experience and from listening to others, is they try to make you so institutionalized and then make it so hard, stack the deck against you when you get out, many people that were living a serious criminal lifestyle, rather than, you know, there's three different kinds of inmates.
Mm-hmm.
There are the very, very, very few who were actually innocent and got sent up.
Yeah.
There are some who were innocent of the crime they were convicted of, but were guilty of others.
Something else.
Okay.
Well.
Then you got the guys who screwed up. They made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They did something singular that was a felony. They screwed up, and they went to prison for it.
Yeah.
And then you got career criminals, you know, the ones that, you know, going back over and over and over again and have rap sheets, you know, three feet
society
long.
Society rules don't apply to them. Yeah.
Now, they, you know, you get some guy who's gone down 2-3 times and he's done 10, 15 years and he wants to not do this anymore. And you put him back on the street and he can't get a job at Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't get a job at the local HEB. And he does that for 3 or 4 months. How long do you really think it's going to take before he goes, you know what? A few little chemicals here and there in a bathtub, and I've got enough meth to sell. I can make, you know, $1,000 a day easy. That's not without, you know, that's without even trying.
Yeah.
And they just go back to it. And, you know, prison's an industry in Texas.
Oh, definitely.
They definitely want to keep those beds full.
Definitely.
There was once upon a time when if you did your time, you got out, you could get a second chance. You could go to another area where people didn't know you or whatever. And if you held yourself right there and did the right thing in your new life, people would eventually, okay, he made a mistake, but he's okay now. And today that, you know, it's all over the internet. And
yeah, everything. And I totally do not agree with that. Society says you should go to prison for a certain amount of time for whatever it is you did wrong. Then once you get out, that's it. You got a clean slate. But it's not the way. That follows you forever. You have a hard time getting started again. You know, once you do, it can be pretty good, but it's just getting started. That's always been the biggest problem with guys coming out.
It's innocent till proven guilty, and then guilty for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely.
And
that's not right. That is not right.
And I really thought it would be more, you know, worrying about, well, do I come out on the job or not? You know, living in East Texas, you know, am I going to, you know, have harassment because of... I don't have to worry about whether or not to come out on the job because they won't even give me the job to start with.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't wear the fingernail polish when I go up and apply for a job. You know, I mean, I've got a little more sense than that. The shirt's usually not pink.
Yeah, but what if they told you, okay, I want you to wash dishes, but you got to cut your hair? You know.
Right now, I would do it.
See?
Right now, I would do it.
Wow.
And I want my hair back. I want my hair back so bad. But yeah, right now, I would do it. But the great thing about that is usually if they're hiring you to wash dishes, if you'll put it in a net, they don't care how long your hair is.
Okay.
The customers can't see you anyway.
Yeah.
You know. And when I first started looking for work, my hair was still short. You know. So then it would have just been if I needed to keep it short, I could have.
Besides, given what goes on in some kitchens, the customers don't want to see what else is going on back there.
Amen to that.
Somebody's hair is the least of their problems.
They're worried about if the food's coming off the floor.
Yeah, I had a...
Or if the cook had a bad day that day.
I went to an IHOP a couple of weeks ago and had a living creature in my water glass.
Oh!
Lovely.
And they didn't even comp my meal.
Oh!
Yeah. Oh, well. I will go back.
Have you had any luck at all, even like a part-time or
I've been able to find some
day jobs.
Yeah, that kind of thing, little labor jobs here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I got work at a chicken plant for little over a month. Shortly after I got out, I got hired in November. I lasted until January, and when I first started trying to get sober, I worked the night shift at this chicken plant, and I'd say probably about 80% of the crew was using.
Ooh.
And it was not a very gay-friendly place either.
Ooh.
So that was lovely. Had to sit there and listen to, you know, all the homophobic jokes and remarks and everything. But I was willing to put up with that. I was making $8.88 an hour and with a lot of overtime. And that doesn't sound like much, especially in Houston where the cost of living is a little higher. But, you know, Nacogdoches, the cost of living is not too great.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got real low rent. So,
yeah.
It was livable. But both times I slipped up on my sobriety were work-related.
Yeah.
And eventually my sponsor was like, man, you got to find another job. And I was scared to leave it because of the way the economy is, and I just didn't think I could find anything else. But one day I pulled into the parking lot, and I was tired, and I was exhausted and stressed out. And I've had one boyfriend since I got out, and we had just broken up.
Oh!
Yeah.
No.
Sorry, little. Anyway, that's a whole other story. And I stepped out of the car, and immediately I smelled weed. And I looked around, and there was five or six guys. They were already drinking, getting ready to go to work. These are the people that are preparing your food.
Yeah.
But and I knew that if I went in there that night, I was going to be messed up before I came out. So I just
that was a smart
drove
decision.
Away.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the thing to do at the time, and it probably was the wisest decision, and I don't really regret it, but here it is 5 months later, and I don't have another job.
Yeah.
So there is a little voice in my head going, hey, you know, you knew the economy was bad. You had employment. You shouldn't have left it. So
I know, I mean,
but that's the thing of
you got to save yourself.
What's important to you?
I mean,
I needed to stay alive.
Yeah,
you needed to stay alive, and you know that you know from experience that road leads you back down to a place you don't
exactly.
Need to be.
Well, plus I was still on paper then. So, you know, I mean,
ouch.
You know, you
literally
UAs and you know, all of that, you know, I get dirty one time with the parole office and I was doing 7 more months.
Oh.
And no, it just wasn't worth it.
No.
So let's expect you to go out and find a job on your own.
Oh yeah.
Even with today the way people do it, they have to send their resumes in on computer. They don't even call people.
Oh, yeah, and you don't have a chance on that. My only chance is to be able to get to talk to the person who's doing the hiring.
That's
and go,
right.
This,
that's right.
Here's the situation. 10 years ago, I screwed up, and I made a mistake, and I paid for it. I pled guilty. I didn't fight it, and I did my time. Give me a chance. But when you're putting in applications on the computer or if you're turning the application into the person who's not going to be doing the hiring and you can't talk to that person, there's no reason for them, when they see that felon status,
yep.
to just set that aside. Because especially right now with so many people out of work, that just about any job you're applying for, there's two or three other people trying to get it too who don't have the felony.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's scary.
Yeah, it is.
But, and...
Well, you know, the military will throw people out who are perfectly qualified to do the jobs they do because they're queer. They,
yeah.
You know, having a record, you know.
Whew.
And I have been turned down for one job because the person... wasn't one job I got turned down for. It was not my felony. It was my orientation.
No kidding.
So far. But that's only one of very many.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't want to go in the closet, but...
You may have to.
Well, it's... with me, I can...
For your job, anyway.
Yeah, I can do it 9 to 5, mm-hmm. you know. It's not so much I'd have to go in the closet. It's just I don't have to advertise it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm who I am. If you ask me, I'll tell you, but there's no real reason for you to even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do have a Tinkerbell sticker on my windshield of my car.
Oh, I have a friend who would love you.
Is he cute?
Oh, he's adorable.
That's a matter of opinion. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh,
hey,
well.
When I first met him, I thought he was hot. Okay, so he was wearing a Starfleet uniform at the time.
Oh, cool. That'll work.
His other color, he has a... Anyhow.
Red shirt, blue shirt.
Yeah.
Well...
Long shirt.
If it's the same person I think you're thinking of, attitude out the wazoo.
Yeah, well, there's that, too.
That's hey, aren't we all drama queens at times?
Oh, honey.
This one puts drama queen to shame.
And I think
I've never met him in person.
And I think he owns stock in a glitter factory.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay.
You're covering glitter for the next 3 days.
Yeah. Wow. You come within 5 feet of him, and you're covered in glitter for the next...
My goodness.
Yeah.
That could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this person around on various websites, and yeah, I haven't even met him in person, and just his profiles scream that he's got attitude that would put a drama queen to shame.
There's absolutely no mistaking him for a straight person.
Yeah,
and maybe
He's got so much attitude drag queens have nothing on him.
Hey, he's a very sweet boy most of the time.
Oh, stop!
Yeah, that's
but
the one.
But then I don't see him when he's out at the clubs and stuff. So
I do have one story.
Yeah,
that. I don't think I ever imagined would happen, and I don't think would have happened if I had gone immediately to a metropolitan area like Dallas or Houston or something like that. Like I said, I came out in East Texas in the 80s.
That's amazing to me.
It was rough. This is still not a very gay-friendly area, but just...
Neither was Houston in the 80s.
The fact that you lived long enough to get convicted for something and...
There you go.
Okay.
But... To show how much better it really is, because there are a lot of problems still, a lot of problems.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But it is a lot better than it used to be. And, you know, the ones who I meet who were, like, born in 84 and think they've got it rough now. and I realize that I have it better because of people like Jimmy and the ones who went before and Stonewall and all of that.
Thank you.
But to see how much better it's gotten, my support group, I go in there, like I said, I don't hide who I am there. I've been mm-hmm. very open about my orientation, although I don't, you know, it doesn't need to be a topic of every time I open my mouth because that's not what I'm there for. But I wear the nail polish and I wear whatever I want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really had any problems at first. They accepted me, and you know, we got oil field workers in there and farmers and rednecks and
wow.
you know, professionals in that area who, you know, would normally look down their nose at anybody, you know, just mm-hmm. about, who have been very welcoming. And about 4 or 5 months into the situation, evidently with a couple of the older people, they were a little uncomfortable with me. I'm not sure why. I guess I made them nervous. Believe me, I'm not going to hit on the 70-year-old man who's straight sitting next to me.
Yeah.
But anyway...
yeah, why is it that so many straight guys think that...
Do you really think every woman in the world wants you?
Yeah.
No.
No.
I've got better taste than them.
Exactly.
So,
not every gay man is going to make take a run to your crotch.
But I did finally... It kind of came up, and it was suggested by someone in the group that I might be more comfortable in a support group that was, you know, GLBT.
Ooh.
Never mind that the closest one to me is in Tyler, which is about an hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
And which is such a bastion of tolerance.
Yeah, no yeah. joke. And I, you know, couldn't even go that far anyway because my parole restrictions were such right. that I couldn't travel even that far. And it really kind of messed me up for...
Did they make a big deal of it?
No, no. It was...
Or did somebody
that
just
that was the thing that almost hurt so much. It was almost like, you know, they tried to play it off like, well, you might be more comfortable, blah, blah, blah. And, I was like, hey, I'm very comfortable
yeah.
here. I love it here. This is family for me now. These people have been real good to me. And it hurt because I had found this place that was safe for me because it was full of people who weren't using.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I had felt like I had found acceptance in this area for who I was, despite who I was, whatever. And I thought I'd lost that. And I started, of course, I got all paranoid. And I'm like, oh, hey, who else is just pretending to be okay with me here and doesn't want me here and all this?
Yeah.
You know, and so I talked to a couple of people. And then I finally just decided that, you know, the only requirement to be there is a desire to be clean and sober. And I had that desire, so they couldn't kick me out. Screw them. I was going to stay.
Good for you.
So I decided to stay. And a couple of days later, this had gotten around enough. Most people didn't know it had happened. And this oil field worker, roughneck to the core, got his girlfriend to paint his nails pink.
What?
And he came to the meeting with his nails pink. And another guy saw him and said, new color? And he went, let someone try to run me up out of here.
Woo!
And
all right.
Then that guy was like, oh, man, that's cool. And so this truck driver comes out and goes, hey, I need to talk to you. And I hadn't seen the pink nail polish yet.
Uh-huh.
And he pulls me outside and he goes, do you have any nail polish in your car? And I'm like, who do you think you're talking to? What color do you want? You know? And he's like, I don't care what color. You know? And I'm like, well, are you trying to... You know, I thought maybe he'd gotten a scratch on his paint or something. And, you know... And because it never occurred to me that this man would be wanting... And he's like, what colors do you have? And I was like, well, I got fuchsia, and I got this really light lavender, and I got a really badass red, and I got two different shades of blue, and I got a black, and
I'm all about the blue now. And I always get
now. Well, I told him I had this midnight blue that's yeah. really nice, and he was like, that'll work. And I was like, well, what do you need it for? And he goes, okay, I don't think I can do this. Will you paint my nails? Excuse me? Is there something I should know? I really didn't peg you. My radar went. I just totally missed. And he was like, no, 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 no. Just do it. You haven't seen? And he mentioned the other guy. And I was like, no. And I painted this guy's nails right before the meeting. And they both went in that meeting and sat there with their nails painted as a sign of support for me being there. And then the guy who'd done it first left it on for 3 days.
Wow.
And, I mean, left it on. So that means he was
so
like...
So he was going to work and
around town, left it on for 3 days. I took a picture of them with their hands, and I've got it on my phone. I used it as my screensaver for a little while. And when they did that...
That is really heartwarming.
I broke down and cried in the meeting. I was like, yeah, there's no way on earth I'm leaving this place.
Yeah.
But... it never would have occurred to me that something like that would have happened. And
so,
you know, in East Texas.
Rednecks.
and it was really amazing. So progress has been made, people.
Wow.
Progress has been made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whew. Next thing you'll find out, this old oil worker's got his girlfriend strapping on a dildo. And
I don't want to know this. Actually, for me, the story is better if he is totally 100% straight and never has any inclinations.
That's right.
Because it's not an excuse for him to kind of semi come out of the closet. This was a straight man in a very non-friendly environment coming forward to support someone who's not straight.
Not only that, but going outside of his comfort zone to do it.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And it was a very, very... It was about the shade of pink of your shirt. I mean, it was a bubblegum pink.
Yeah.
You know, I was like calling his girlfriend, you know, the next day going, hey, girl, can I borrow that? I don't have that shade. I assume it was yours. Can I borrow that? And so I let her borrow my blue, and she let me borrow her pink.
That is so cool. You know, it's something that I would have never expected from that part of the country.
It totally blew my mind. And
you have a home there.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I'd like to stay there. My support group is just amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, other than, you know, the voices on you guys and stuff, I don't really know anybody in Houston anymore. You know, I was coming down to the Montrose some in the 80s, but, I haven't been back. You know, I moved to, you know, in 89, I moved to Dallas. And so I know that area a little bit better
than
I know.
That's 20 years ago.
Houston. And that's, yeah. I'm ancient.
And Montrose has changed a lot in 20 years.
I noticed that driving through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, before I went to prison, you know, you've heard the country song, Where Were You When the World Stopped Turning?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
D Block, 32 Rec. Okay? I was locked up. I mean, the...
Time stood still for you for a while.
Things have drastically changed. Mm-hmm. I mean... Oh, my goodness, you got to put your zip code in at the gas station now. What on earth is that?
Oh, yeah.
Hello? The first time it asked me that, thankfully, you know, I had a friend with me, and I was like...
What's my zip code?
No, I was like, well, what if you don't know where you're at? And they were like, your home zip code, dummy. And I was like, oh, okay, because all it said was zip code.
Yeah.
And I was like...
What?
Well, you know, I don't know the zip code of everywhere I go to. I know where I live, and I know 77006, and that's about it. You know? So what if you don't know the zip code you're at? You're supposed to go in and ask the cashier?
That's funny, but that's true.
You know, there's a lot of things like that.
That's right up there with the president not knowing how to use a
I had a pager when I went to prison. Nobody has pagers anymore.
That's right.
You know, I don't think you can even get service for one.
Even I have a cell phone. Even
I have recently caved to the cell phone.
That's right.
I don't own a computer.
Just 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't own a computer yet.
So I understand because I don't do anything computer related. So.
Oh, goodness. I can already text and drive.
There's a good idea.
You're good.
Well, see, here's the thing. If you put the phone up by the steering wheel, you don't have to really look away from the road.
Too much.
Right.
No more than you would to change the radio station.
Or to light your cigarette or whatever.
Well, I don't have to look away from the road to light my cigarette. Now, cute guy catches my eye.
Sugar, as a pedestrian, as a pedestrian every day of my life since I moved to Texas, people like you...
Scare the hell out of you, right?
Ever loving.
Hey, I have not come anywhere close to having a wreck because of my phone. Now, I've come close to having two wrecks, one that were my fault, that would have been my fault if I'd have had them. One was because of the cigarette. I dropped a cigarette.
Oh, isn't that the worst?
In my lap.
Right in your crotch. Yeah. You're trying to drive.
And I had on a brand new pair of shorts. And I was trying to get the cigarette away from them before they burned a hole in them or stained them or whatever. So, you know, because I don't have much money. I'm out of work. And I couldn't afford to go buy these shorts. But at the same time, I didn't want to knock my cigarette into the floorboard because it was my last one. And the damn things cost $15,000 a piece now. So, I'm trying to save it, and I'm bouncing around trying to stay off the seat and keep my foot on the gas
at
the same time.
That's so true.
Yeah, I nearly had a wreck on that one. And the other one...
Believe me, understand, I've been in the car with Jimmy.
There was a cute couple walking down the road, and I really couldn't tell which one of them I'd rather do, the girl or the guy. And it was like... You know, one of them would have been distracting. The two of them together,
wow. It
was just, oh my God.
Party time.
And by the time I looked back up to the road, I realized, oh, the light's red and there's a car stop there. And I barely got that car shut down.
I've done that before.
If you want to sit in my lap, get out of the car.
The phone is not nearly as dangerous as it sounds. Pedestrians are actually more dangerous because, you know.
Yeah.
I'm 5'4", 5'6", if I stand up really straight. I'm still too tall for a hood on.
Merlin, you make a great good horn on.
So if you're ever driving through Montrose, I'll thank you to pay attention.
Well,
to the man in blue.
My goodness, I drove up and down Montrose Boulevard so many times trying to find this radio station.
You're kidding.
It's not even
Disco
funny.
Kroger.
Well, nobody told me that.
Oh.
And I called for directions.
Y'all
don't give directions, you give address. And I couldn't find 419 for nothing. And
you
luckily...
You couldn't see the big radio tower above us?
No.
Actually, I was on the wrong end.
well, he was headed up toward Wendy's.
There was a 400 block down there, too.
Oh.
And luckily, finally, I remembered that Jimmy had said that it was at the intersection of Taft.
Yeah.
And so I finally said, screw trying to find it on Montrose. I know where Taft is. So I got on Taft and just went all the way down Taft until I finally... And still had to make a couple of little turns here and there and nearly passed it the last time. And I'm backing up on the middle of Taft trying to get on to Lovett. It was embarrassing.
Luckily, that's a relatively quiet street.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're right here at the end where Lovett dead ends into Taft and where Taft almost a block... The other way, dead ends into something else. Yeah.
Kind of got that now.
Hawthorne, yeah.
Yeah, kind of got that now.
Kind of got that.
Used to be we could have told you that we were right across the street from a bar. Now we're right across the street from the yuppie scum.
Well, that's probably safer for me anyway.
In the $500,000 townhouse.
In the $500,000 townhouse, yeah.
Yeah, goodness gracious. I mean, there's like houses where there weren't.
Yeah,
lots of
them. Oh, yeah.
And here's the thing.
There are multi-family
houses. It's Saturday night. I'm driving down Montrose Boulevard. I see one lesbian couple holding hands at the street corner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not 10 seconds after I turn on the Montrose, and I'm like, ah, cool. I'm home.
Yep.
And then I didn't see anybody else at all.
That's okay. You would have had to turn down the street. You definitely didn't need to be to see more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I got enough. I have lost the obsession. I no longer want to drink or use. And I have been to a party since that has happened without wanting to drink or use. So at least sooner or later, I got to get back down there and hit Mary's or,
a
couple of these other places. Just, you know.
Mary's is still there.
Oh, yeah.
For the moment.
Mary's is
there.
Yeah. We don't know how much longer, but.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
Painted over the mural. Don't get me started.
No kidding.
Yeah.
The only part of the mural that is left is the animal sitting on the bar stool. That's it. That's all. The mural is gone. There was a big old fight about
it. Did they
that.
At least, you know, like, film it or something for posterity?
Yeah. There's documentation of it. Flew a bunch of us. I passed by the first day that was covered over. I passed by there. I was circling Saturn. I mean, I was just getting sick of Saturn.
Well, Longview is only about an hour and 15 minutes from where I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little bit more realistic for me to drive.
Sure.
And there was a club there called Decisions, which I went to for years and was looking forward to going to again as soon as I got off paper and was able to go up there. And I'm, you know, writing my friends, you've got to go to Decisions with me when I get out. And this was a couple of months before I got out, and she wrote me and she goes, you didn't hear? And I was like, what? And they shut it down.
No.
And I was like, no. Okay, well, what about, and I listed off another one I can't remember the name of right now. And then she was like, oh, well, that one burned down.
Oh.
And I'm like, oops. Well, crap. It's all going away.
Yep. They tried that once here.
So there's no gay bars in Longview?
It's now South Beach.
I'm sure there's at least one, but I don't know where it's at.
Wow.
You know, I would think that there would still be one somewhere.
Yeah.
I know there's one in Tyler, but that's a little bit further. I'd rather drive to Houston than Tyler. I'd rather go ahead and drive the extra 45 minutes.
There you go.
In my neck, everybody thinks in my neck of the woods that it's that bastion of openness and everything. I grew up in New York. There was one bar that was reputed to be a gay bar.
Let's take a quick little break, guys.
Okay.
So that way we can stretch our legs a little bit. Let's take a quick 3-minute song break, and we'll be back.
Okay.
Come on. How about some guitar? You're a little too late to save my feelings, baby. What's done is done, and I'm not gonna take it back. You're a little too late to
Thank you. so far removed from all workaday concern. No rush hour traffic, no calls to return. It's just you and me on this one perfect even for once. All is right with the world. We can hold hands and slow dance, get swept up in romance, get carried away like a couple of kids. There's no rush, so let's just see what happens on a night custom made just for us. I can't help but feel like we're being set up, 'cause I'd swear the full moon just winked at us. So maybe tonight, beneath its pale light, we might fall in love. Sinatra and Ella, much more than nostalgia. There are patron saints for setting the mood. Our first kiss, I'm nervous, till a song by Johnny Mathis assures us chances are awfully good. I can't help but feel like we're being set up, 'cause I'd swear the full moon just winked at us. So maybe tonight, beneath its pale light,
KPFT Houston.
Our first kiss, I'm nervous, but a song by Johnny Mathis assures us chances are awfully good. I can't help but feel like we're being set up, 'cause I'd swear the full moon, it just winked at us. So maybe beneath its pale light, we might fall in love. We might fall in love.
Surprise helps the edges tilt, like missing my sister's gentle face.
Son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gather around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. In the backyard we'd go walking, and then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was
what
he was.
What?
Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I tried. When he starts sweet talking to me, come and tell me everything is alright. Kiss and tell me now everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight?
and heading. I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, so I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy, da 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 da. So I have to warn you, Daddy, though I know you're perfectly swell, that my
the sweet devil's got my soul.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was great.
Man.
Good choices there, Jimmy.
Joan Osborne and Melissa Etheridge, Bring Me Some Water, live version. Many, 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 many years ago, some lesbian called up during the show and wanted me to play Melissa Etheridge, and I did not even own any, and wanted me to play this particular cut, Bring Me Some Water. So I went out, bought the CD, listened to it, and I thought, oh, yeah. Oh,
song.
Yeah.
Great song.
And Melissa wasn't even out of the closet yet. And, you know, I didn't even care because she was rocking and lesbians loved her. So,
of course, Son of a Preacher Man, still my favorite out of that segment.
Oh, yeah.
Always
will
be.
Well, let's see. Before we played Melissa there, we had Dean McBride
with My Heart Belongs to Daddy.
There you go. And then, of course, Jeff Krasner.
Son of a Preacher Man. By request from Tigger.
Yes,
thank you.
Yes.
Then we had Ellis above that. Mm-hmm. Before that, which one did you do on there?
You did that one.
Did I? I think I did All Over the Map.
Okay.
I don't remember. I wasn't paying too much attention. I had other things on my mind.
He had to pee.
Oh, crap. I thought it was just I looked so cute. Yeah, I'm fishing.
And oh, before that...
Was Mark Islam.
Yes.
We Might Fall in Love.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did Emotion.
No.
We did If You're Good. That's right.
Yeah.
If You're Good. Not sure who did that. What was that?
Intuition, and the title of the album name is Faith.
Yeah,
it's a local thing.
Then we played some Your Girlfriend.
Yeah, we won't be silent, I hope.
Won't be silent, yep, that's what we did.
Good.
And True Soul before that, and let's see.
It was also local.
You're a Little Too Late.
Yeah.
I chose that one. So, that's what we played there.
Cool.
We're a little short-handed on Roundtable tonight, but we're going to go ahead and jump into it.
Yeah, but we got three good voices here.
Yes, we do. Yes,
and
we would
have another one if Chris would, like, get on the phone and call in and join us.
He may have passed out by now. Or
I know the truth. He just, like, doesn't want to talk to me. That's what it is.
You'll have to come back down and visit him.
He's either knocked out from cold medications or he's at home.
Well, see, he could have done that up here.
Yeah. We got pictures of him doing it one weekend.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. Oh, and I have this visual during Louie.
I bet you do.
All right. He was real busy.
Well, Chris was kind enough in his sickened state to go ahead and send us some stories.
Boy, they ought to be good.
This always was my favorite segment, by the way.
Because it's so many different ideas.
Yep.
Yes. And now you're part of it.
Yep, you get to be a part of it this time.
Who'd have thunk it?
Now, this one, Chris actually emailed to Jimmy and myself earlier in the week. I don't know if Jimmy actually read it or not, but I read it. And I thought it was quite interesting. Titled, If You Live in Houston, You're Probably a Bottom.
I saw that, and I was like, what?
So say statistics anyway. Okay. Now, gay blog The Sword recently compiled some Craigslist data and figured out that when men are looking online to do sex with other men, certain cities trend heavily towards the receiving end. Chief among them is Houston, where 70% of the folks are looking to fill the void.
So to speak.
Now, he surveyed 10 cities. Only three, in fact, had a higher ratio of tops to bottoms. And even the numbers were...
Really? Which ones are they?
Let's go. Almost even. Huh? But, no pun intended there. Miami, Houston, Los Angeles, and surprise, surprise... San Francisco all seem rife with untended bottoms, all reaching out across the cyber tundra, hoping to find some fleeting relief.
Well, maybe that's just because the tops don't have to look for them because the bottoms are just doing the advertising.
Yeah. Probably true. See? New York, of course, had the highest percentage of tops seeking companionship.
No kidding.
Because it's just that kind of town, I guess.
The thing is that, you know, I look at it as a passive versus aggressive. Yeah. You know, a bottom being more passive is going to be a little bit more aggressive, I guess, and looking for someone to keep them.
Sometimes
satisfied.
You just want to chow down, okay? Yeah.
There you go.
Well,
but we're not talking about what you do at the bookstore, Jimmy.
Yeah. Now, both days for me is not just bisexual, so I top and bottom. So
see?
I don't know what city I'm supposed to be in.
So, well,
anywhere I can get laid, I guess.
That's it.
All right. Here are the 10 cities that they surveyed from Craigslist. Houston, Miami, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Boston, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington, D.C., and New York City.
Okay.
Houston, having about 73% of the advertisements for bottoms.
Wow.
See, they should have done Dallas, too, because it would have been neat to have that
same
thing.
Miami came in, no pun intended there, came in second with about
69%. Self tonight.
Yeah.
New York 69%, huh?
69% approximately.
Oh, yeah.
San Francisco being third, Los Angeles, then Seattle, Boston, and then Chicago. And then we flip the scales a little bit here with Atlanta having more tops advertising than Washington, D.C. with more tops. Well, Atlanta and Washington were about the same.
Uh-huh.
And then New York City with about 53% from what I can see here.
Well, that's kind of funny because I went to Atlanta once and I didn't find a top in the place.
I think the thing here in Houston is the tops probably know where to go to get what they need if they're not partnered.
I can believe San Francisco because I've been there. So, yeah, interesting statistics there.
Oh, yes.
Here is a follow-up story to our perverted one from a few weeks ago.
Which perverted one?
The priest.
So many.
The canoodling priest.
The canoodling priest.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh,
the one that was seen with a woman.
Yeah.
As opposed to an altar boy?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Well, isn't that like progress?
Well,
this out of Miami. Popular priest known as Father Oprah has left the Roman Catholic Church and joined the Episcopal Church less than a month after a tabloid published photos of him cavorting on the beach with his girlfriend in a scandal that rocked South Florida's Spanish-speaking community.
Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
On Thursday, as thunder boomed outside and paparazzi cameras flashed, Reverend Alberto
QTA.
Oh, yeah, excuse me, QTA.
Well, maybe he was cute.
Yeah.
Well, have you seen his picture?
No.
You have to come around and see the picture.
Hold it up to the microphone so we can all see it.
Yeah, there you go. He held a news conference at the pulpit of the Episcopal Trinity Cathedral. Standing behind him, the Episcopal bishop and a half dozen Episcopal priests and his girlfriend. He did not talk about the relationship with the woman who had been identified in the local media as a 35-year-old divorcee, or if he plans to marry her. He did say in a statement that he began to have spiritual and deep ideological struggles and has seen the ways that many of my brothers serve God as married men with the blessing of forming a family.
Fancy way of saying he got horny.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, she is a 35-year-old divorcee. The clock's ticking there, you know?
Tick-tock, 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 tick-tock.
His, too.
Yeah. Well,
I think the Catholic Church is in trouble, and it's going to be in trouble until they get over this celibate thing.
You mean give it away and celibate?
Well, it's just not natural. There's the old joke about the monk rereading some old texts and said, "Oh my God, it's celebrate."
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
just, they're just going to have to give that up if they want priests to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, they're There's this big thing about the Pope not wanting any gay priests.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Yeah, we see how well that's done.
Yeah. So if you want straight ones, you're going to have to provide some pussola to go with it.
Yeah, a friend of
so
mine
to speak.
And not the boy kind either.
To Catholicism, and she sent a text to a mutual friend of ours, and I was there when the friend got the text, and she looked at me and she went, "Kat just converted to Catholicism. She's been baptized." And I was like, "She does know they're like anti-lesbian, right? They're not going to marry her with her girlfriend."
No, it's not happening.
It isn't that.
What was she thinking?
I don't know. I haven't gotten to talk to her yet.
The thing that I read, that the church does not condemn the person,
as
do a lot of their members. They condemn the act.
Right. So, as long as you're celibate.
Yeah, if you're living with the girl, you're probably not celibate.
You can be gay or lesbian.
Although they
bisexual.
Aren't they kind of like most of the world, where they have less problem with lesbianism than they do with homosexuality?
Oh, yeah.
Those chicks are locked up in a convent, and they're married to this guy named Jesus Christ,
Well, that's the
He's
that's
not
the
around
law.
Physically much.
No. No.
Regardless of what you believe.
Bush v. Gore lawyers take on gay marriage ban.
Yeah, this is one I found earlier this week, outside of what Chris sent us here. Mm-hmm. Bush versus Gore lawyers take on the gay marriage ban.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was weird.
Yeah, definitely. Two lawyers who squared off in a legal battle over the 2000 U.S. presidential election teamed up on Wednesday to challenge California's gay marriage ban in a move that, if successful, would allow same-sex couples to wed anywhere in the United States.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and the problem is that many gay activists are saying, don't do that.
Yeah. The thing, too,
we're not ready for that yet.
The other thing, too, is that gay marriage was a wedge issue created by the conservatives after the Lawrence versus Texas case was overturned by the Supreme Court.
Yeah. The lawsuit filed on behalf of two same-sex California couples barred from marrying under the voter-approved ban known as Proposition 8 puts them at odds with gay rights advocates who see a federal court challenge as too risky and fear a loss in the U.S. Supreme Court. Lawyers Ted Olson and David Boies, who opposed each other in the Bush v. Gore U.S. Supreme Court case that put George W. Bush in the White House, say that the gay people who cannot marry were turned into second-class citizens by Proposition 8 in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Olson represented Bush, and Boies represented Vice President Al Gore in the case that settled the disputed 2000 election.
Can you believe that those two were even talking?
I know, right?
Go back to the civil rights movements of the 60s and the court battles there. Can you really picture the leaders of those movements stepping back and going, now hold on, this might hurt us if we lose? No, they said, hey, we want this, fight for it, we'll get in every court that we can, we'll march, we'll get something done. Mm-hmm. And it just blows my mind that anybody's going, well, we might lose, so let's not.
Yeah.
You know, the problem, no civil rights laws were ever passed by the population.
This is true.
Because you'd never have them.
Right. I mean, if the majority or whatever was going to do that, you wouldn't have to pass the law because they would just do it.
They would just do it. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
They say here.
And then that's why this Proposition 8 thing is a joke.
Well, they say here.
My way of thinking, how do you feel?
Shrugs don't translate real well on radio, man.
Well, while he gathers his thoughts,
you kind of caught me out of the blue on that one.
Sorry about that. You've been awfully quiet, and I wanted. You always have a good opinion. Sorry.
I mean, I think it's a good thing for the fact that it's actually getting people to realize that it's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's actually starting to get a lot of people to kind of pick their general side. And a lot of people are starting to realize that, you know, even though it's been voted into law that, you know, they're not allowed to marry in California, that there still are a huge amount of people that still are, you know, wanting the marriage to happen, even though the majority of the voters ended up saying no. So, you know, it's bad, it's good.
It's odd to me because California has always, in the past, been the leader in progressive thinking and progressive laws. And to my way of thinking, they're going backwards.
The irony of this is that Iowa just approved gay marriage.
Hello?
Who would have thunk? Iowa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I was reading the other day was that there was a protest with a bunch of celebrities in Los Angeles,
yes.
I would think. And I think that it's actually helping that there are a lot of people who are like, you know, I should step it up. I mm-hmm. should, you know, actually contribute something. Like, people look up to me as, you know, whatever position I am in society. So I should stand up for, you know, this, even if it's a controversial issue. You know, even if I don't personally identify with it, you know, I'm going to step up for it. And I think that's actually a really good thing.
I do, too.
Agreed.
I really do.
Now, what's it say here about if the lawsuit prevails?
If this lawsuit prevails, it would establish the right of gay couples to marry as the law of the land, upending laws in many U.S. states that specifically prohibit same-sex marriage. 5 of the 50 U.S. states have legalized gay marriage, and opponents, including many religious conservatives, see gay marriage as a threat to the traditional family.
I thought adultery and divorce were the big threats.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I would have thought. Really, yeah.
The fundamental right here is this case is about equal rights guaranteed every American under the United States Constitution.
So they want to go to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah. Olson, who served as U.S. Solicitor General under Bush, said this in Los Angeles. He also says, for too long, gay men and lesbians who seek stable, committed, loving relationships within the institution of marriage have been denied that fundamental right that the rest of us freely enjoy. Let's see.
That's the part.
In federal trumps state. So they get that done on a federal level, then the states have to go, well, crap.
Yeah. I can just hear the lawyers salivating at the thought of...
no joke. You'd think the lawyers would definitely be for it.
Here's the part about the gay rights activists.
Yeah, okay.
They say gay rights activists are wary. Federal lawsuit at this time is terribly risky, said Jenny Pizer, one of the lawyers for Lambda Legal, who argued against Proposition 8 before the California court.
She's single.
Her organization, the American Civil...
What, she has long fingernails?
her organization, the American Civil Liberties Union, and others said in a statement that without more groundwork, the U.S. Supreme Court is likely is not yet ready to rule that same-sex couples cannot be barred from marriage.
Well, what's likely is that the Supreme Court wouldn't hear it, for one thing. And what she's worried about is that if the Supreme Court upholds it, then we've taken a huge step backwards.
Well,
the problem, though, is that the federal government shouldn't even be in this at all because marriage is a state's right.
More than likely, what's going to happen?
Actually, if it, Jimmy, let me finish this little section here real quick.
Oops.
It'll kind of probably trump what you just said there.
Okay.
Olson and Boies disagreed, saying federal courts were ready to affirm marriage rights on basis of sexual orientation. Olson said that there are a number of decisions by the U.S. Supreme Court that help in this case, including the High Court's 1967 ruling that struck down a Virginia statute prohibiting couples of different races from being married. We think we know what we are doing, Olson added.
I said let them do it.
So they're thinking the interracial.
They're going to try to base their case off of that. It looks like, which if they can and are successful, will be a great stepping stone for us.
Not that I want to get married, but
I
think we should have the option.
You know, because there are other ways to come at it. I mean, just because the Supreme Court rules one way doesn't mean that you can't come back later with a better argument and convince them to change their mind.
Yeah.
See, even states like New York now. Who they don't have marriage, but they're going to recognize it from states that do. So,
The Supreme Court could also say this is a state's rights issue, and send it back to the lower court as well.
Yeah, right. But then again, you know, there are lots of... there is a recognition by the federal government of marriage because they bestow a lot of rights for married couples, like Social Security.
Right.
Tax cuts.
Yeah. Things like that.
And if they come at it from the standpoint of the same arguments that were used with the biracial marriages, with the interracial relationships, then that is one instance where the federal government stepped in and said, Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, you guys, you know, we don't care what you think. We don't care what you want. Leave them alone.
Yep.
And
because it's the right thing to do
for us.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, like you keep saying, where it should be a state issue, you know, the government shouldn't necessarily say, you know, you have to do this, but they should just say, you know, it's your choice, but you're being discriminative.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we won't push you to make any specific laws, but, you know, we certainly will be, you know, with anyone who, you know, brings up the discriminatory card of, you know, hey, you know, you're singling me out from everyone else, and I'm, you know, I'm a U.S. citizen, why should I be singled out?
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, say, you know, okay, states, this is what you have to do.
Well, it all goes back, I think it all goes back to the very principle of the whole Constitution and everything. The first few words in there, all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Of course, they really did mean men when they wrote it.
They meant white men.
But,
yeah, right. But, white land-owning men.
But obviously, I mean, yeah, but still... We're moving forward in time, so we have to incorporate that into today's world.
Men and women and
everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, white, black, orange, purple, yellow. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Men, women, gay, straight. We're all the same. You cut us, we all bleed. Yeah.
We got
red.
We got the men. We got the women. We got the race. And now it's time for
sexual orientation.
What's weird
and gender identity.
Exactly. Yes. That's where I was fixing to go, because what is really strange about all this is the group in the GLBT umbrella that has the least rights and the least amount of freedoms are the transgenders.
That's right.
But they actually are the only ones who have some protections in the marriage thing, because once you have the surgery and you recognized as the new sex, you can get married. And that's a legal marriage.
Yep.
So
it's kind of weird.
The one place where they have the upper hand on the rest of the community.
Yep. Kind of like with the man that got pregnant.
Yeah, the transgender community has been telling us that for a long time. If you want marriage, you know, come do it through us. Because there was I know the couple that got married. She transgendered. She married a lesbian. However, there was a time in Texas when it didn't matter that you transitioned. It didn't matter that you even had the surgery. It went on what you were when you were born.
What's on your birth certificate?
So they legally got married in Texas.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting.
So two women got married.
She had transitioned, but they weren't acknowledging that and it's saying, oh, no, you're a man.
Right.
Okay, great. I'm going to marry my girlfriend now.
That's right. That's
right. Transgender. Wes, is that a boy with a tiara?
Yes, it is. The prom queen from Fairfax High.
Okay.
From the L.A. the L.A. Times reports, Garcia, 18, spent most of his years at Fairfax openly gay and wanted to be part of the Los Angeles school's prom court, but not as prom king. He felt that vying for prom queen would better suit his personality, so he decided to seek that crown, running against a handful of female classmates. He said it started out as a bit of a stunt and a challenge. He wasn't sure that the school would allow it, but his campaign for queen ended up being serious and sparking dialogue about gender roles on campus.
Wow.
Hmm. The audience erupted in applause after his speech, and a group of his female friends spent the rest of the week wearing pink crowns and campaigning for him. On Saturday, wow. On Saturday night at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel, wearing a charcoal gray tuxedo and a black bow tie, he was named prom queen.
Oh, that's excellent.
I felt invincible, awesome. Garcia said.
Awesome. So he went. He went to the prom.
He went to the prom and was
as a male.
As a male, and was crowned prom queen.
You know, some cheerleader. Wow. You know, bombshell.
Yeah.
Is just
living.
Kicked. Oh, I mean,
and he's actually kind of cute
too.
Not only
did she get beat,
yes.
She got beat by a boy.
Yeah.
Does it actually say in the article if they did the dance with the prom queen? And
it doesn't say. Oh. It's just a paragraph.
That is traditional.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And he went there dressed as a boy. So I wonder if he was sorry that he didn't wear the gown.
I have no idea.
But
yeah.
But he doesn't identify as trans. He's just a queen.
But yeah, just a flaming. He's just a flaming Homer.
But a lot of gay guys go to their prom in drag.
Yeah,
not necessarily trans. They just want to go.
Did
in
you,
dress.
Jimmy?
No.
No. But you wanted to.
That was the dark ages, honey.
You mean the 60s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving right along.
Well, let's move on to something a little more famous. Colin Farrell.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yes. Best man at Bros Gay Nuptials.
No kidding.
Really?
Yes. Iman Farrell will marry his partner Stephen Mannion this summer as his proud brother Colin Farrell serves as best man.
That's nice.
The excited groom-to-be says, unfortunately, the nuptials cannot take place in his homeland of Ireland.
Ooh,
we have to get
probably not.
Yeah, we have to get married abroad. It's absolutely terrible, Farrell says.
Eamon.
Yeah, Eamon Farrell says. We have to go somewhere legal, which narrows it down to about 5 countries.
Sweden, Norway.
But the professional choreographer didn't want to marry his artist's partner in a mere civil union. He joked at Mannion's recent
exhibition.
Thank you. I don't really like civil union cake. I want a wedding cake at my party.
Oh.
Who wants a civil union? It's just so legal.
And it's really, oh, it's really sad. You've got this person from Ireland who's willing to travel abroad to get married, and there's about 5 countries where that is possible, and the land of the free is not one of them.
That's right, it isn't.
But speaking seriously, Eamon says he wants to be able to get married. The government's paper on civil unions is only for gay people. If you're straight, you can't have one. So that's not fair either.
No, that isn't.
If you want a civil union, you should be able to do it. If I want to get married, I should be able to do it.
Agreed.
Yeah. But it hasn't been that long that Ireland struck down their sodomy laws.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been a few years.
Yeah. Farrell also shared that his partner, Mannion, is the most wonderful, happy person. He is always so full of positive energy. I can't wait to marry him.
Aww.
He also says, as excited as he is for the upcoming wedding, it definitely won't be featured in any magazine pictorials. He'll leave that to his famous Farrell sibling. We definitely won't be doing a magazine deal.
He doesn't know paparazzi very well.
Are you kidding? Mm. Oh my God, I'd be mortified. Colin is famous. I'm not.
Will be.
And they got a very cute picture here.
So when's the brother coming out
of the
closet?
Brothers.
Yeah. No, Colin.
Yes.
Good luck.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a.
I'd sign it up and everything.
I know, but we need straight allies. We do.
Yeah, but.
And that's a great one right there, Colin Farrell going to his brother's.
Yeah.
Stuff. So yeah, very supportive there.
If I can't have him as a bedmate, I'll take him as an ally.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? But they got a very cute picture of the Farrell brothers here.
Yeah.
Pardon me while I drool a little bit.
You go right ahead.
Stop it, you're going to short the board out.
So is the brother as cute as Colin?
Very.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very. Wow. Yep.
So what's the father look like?
I have no idea. He's not
Jesus.
Featured here.
Got something for me there?
No. The nursing home's that way, honey.
Oh. Well, that's all I have for articles here.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not. We got a few minutes here.
Okay.
So, we got about 6 minutes.
6 minutes?
Yeah, because I got PSAs.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So.
Nothing else?
I always hated the PSAs. They robbed me of 2 minutes of my show.
But we have to do them. We have to. It's part of the letters? Part of the contract.
There's no letters?
No.
No letters this week.
No. As a matter of fact, we've kind of dried up. You know, a lot of the guys that would write in, you know, were in love with Gigi's voice and was looking for a transgender pen pal.
Oh.
You know?
Gigi sounded sweet and all, but...
I know. Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah, while you're in, that's what you think you want, but once you get out, it's going to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the kind of way I looked at it.
You do get so desperate for mail that, you know, you'll write just about anybody that will write you back.
Mm.
You know, I mean... Obviously, that's not why I was writing the station, because I never got a letter back.
No.
But, and I never asked for one. But, and I had mail. There was rarely a day when I didn't get something.
Really?
I had a lot of support from friends and family.
That's
that was
fabulous.
Really good. So that kept me going. So I had that. But guys who
you
go
must have been
year,
writing like
oh, yeah,
crazy.
Yeah. I wrote, on average, about 100 letters a month.
Wow.
But, you know, I didn't have a job, so it was a whole lot easier to do.
And you are a journalism major, so.
And they weren't all, like, 10 pages long or anything. Some of them were just a page. You know, I mean, how many times can you say, you know, same crap, different day? But
Or how many different ways can you say that?
Yeah. Well, the trick was to, you know, if you had a friend that watched... you know, Grey's Anatomy or something, and you happen to catch it in the day room, then you could, you know, write, hey, did you catch it? What did you think about, did you see that outfit she was wearing? You know, I mean, you talk about something like that, you know, you don't, man, nobody wants to hear about the fight that happened in the cell next to you when you're locked up and they can't protect you.
Yeah.
You know, your family doesn't need to hear that. They're under enough stress.
Yeah.
But guys who... you know, there are some guys who don't get any mail at all. I mean, they're lucky if they get a single Christmas card.
Wow.
So they would get desperate for, mm-hmm. you know, I don't care if it's a guy. Pretend you're a girl. Just write me. You know.
That's the deal there.
And, you know.
Because we've had lots of letters about, you know, I've been in here and I think I'm bisexual now and blah, 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 and I'm going to come out and I'm, you know, Gigi sounds real good. And
I don't know. I thought Chris sounded good. But that's just me. Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know what it is. His voice just curled my toes.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I'll say it again.
I know. You know, that's the thing about radio. We all have faces for radio.
Yes.
There have been guys who have, you know, felt the same way about me. And then they came to the station and was like, oh, how you do? And, you know, shake the hand.
But we know they're
here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the reality.
See, you're actually younger looking than I was expecting.
No from kidding.
From all the jokes and everything,
the old
I was
jokes.
Expecting, you know, like
Skeletor.
Yeah, exactly. You know, serious crustage here. But, you know, a little distinguished gray, but you know, all right. You know, hey, Sean Connery looked better when he went gray.
I think so. I think so, too.
And, you know, Harrison Ford in 6 Days and 6 Nights, he was in his 60s when he made that, and the man was still hot. No doubt.
Yeah, well, I have pictures that say I'm not as hot gray.
So diet pink.
I have thought of that.
Oh!
See? I've thought of that.
Yeah, Jimmy's got a face for radio and a mouth for sin.
Gay Pride is coming up. I always wear pink.
So I may do the hair
just bleach it out.
Are you going to wear that shirt that they can see from the space station?
No, that was only for when I was Grand Marshal.
Oh, I see.
I have to get other pink shirts.
So that if you're Grand Marshal again, you can...
Well, actually, they did have a 25th anniversary kind of thing where they didn't have any Grand Marshals that year. All the past Grand Marshals rode on a float. I wore it, again, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like you raided Liza Minnelli's closet.
Oh, yeah. That will be going to the museum.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're coming to the end of the
show. We are.
This is the end.
Yep. Up next is Zydeco Pasale.
Oh, are they in the house?
Mary's in the house.
Oh, hey. All right. Yep. All right. Now you know you're going to get a good show.
Yep.
Give me something to listen to for 40 minutes while I drive.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. You've been listening to After Hours on KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston. As always, www.kpft.org on the World Wide Web. Up next is your PSAs.
Good night, kids.
See y'all next week.
See ya.
Best of day.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking sites MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users, as well as keep up with KPFT programmers and staff. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. Visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston to add KPFT as a friend. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so join us online. Again, on MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, just search for 90.1 KPFT or Pacifica. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Do you have the subterranean homesick blues? Is everything broken? Did you wake up this morning feeling like a rolling stone? You could see your doctor, but there is little chance he would tell you anything but take two aspirin and go straight to Thanks Bob 6. The doctor knows the cure for sure. Saturday, June 6th at Dan Electro's Guitar Bar. 1031 East 24th Street in the Heights. There we'll see many of Houston's local favorites come together to celebrate the music of Bob Dylan the best way possible. And that's by playing it. Thanks Bob 6 features Fallen Folk, Third Ear, The Psychedillos, Craig Kinsey, Los Vertigos, Luke and the Drifters, and making a special appearance, the Austin Lounge Lizards. Doors open at 5, festivities at 6. The event is brought...
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.